The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
It's lovely to be here and see lots of familiar faces and also some new faces, I think. So who's here at IMC for the first time tonight? A show of hands. A few people. Great. Welcome. Welcome. Wonderful. So what I'd like to do is just to take a few moments at the very beginning of every talk to get a sense of community in this room and just get people to introduce each other to the people sitting around them and say hello, and especially to the new people. Raise your hands again one more time, please. Okay, great. Just say hello to the new people. Hi, welcome. So go at it. Just say your name, where you're from. Just one or two people around you. This is a community. Make it one. Hello. Great. Okay. All right. And I apologize to the shy people. I know this might be a little traumatizing. So forgive me. So tonight I wanted to share some reflections on giving. It's something that's been on my mind, and I'll tell you how it sort of started to be on my mind, and talk about a little bit some thoughts that have come up for me, and we'll do a guided reflection together later on this. I've been sitting a lot of retreats over the past 4 months. I've been on retreat for two months out of the 4 past months, which has been great. And one of those retreats was at IMS, Insight Meditation Society, in Barre, Massachusetts, and was taught by a monk, a Bhikkhu Anilayo. Some of you might have heard his name. And he's one of the premier scholars in early Buddhism, early suttas. And he's a very inspiring person. He's German by ethnicity, and he has done his PhD dissertation on the Satipatthana Sutta, the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. And for those of you who might remember, I led a 4-week series on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, I think last year, and it was based on his book, the book that he has written, and which is fantastic, really. If anybody wants to understand the Four Foundations of Mindfulness thoroughly, he's got a book for you. So anyway, so he's a very impressive scholar and an amazing practitioner, and a very, very kind person. It just emanates from him. And during the retreat, there are a lot of teachings, a lot of reflections. One of them that is the seed for tonight's talk, reflections, is he was talking about... So a little bit of background about retreat. So who's been on silent retreats before? A show of hands. Okay, bunch of people, so you know the routine. So when you go on a retreat, on a silent retreat in this tradition, you are given what's called a yogi job. So everyone gets something to do. You might be washing dishes, washing vegetables, chopping vegetables. You have an hour a day to contribute to the community. Otherwise, it's so difficult for all the tasks to be done. You know, the centers have to hire so many people, so it just doesn't economically make sense. And it's also a nice feeling of you're contributing. Everybody on retreat is actually contributing to the running of the retreat. If somebody doesn't wash the dishes, and somebody doesn't chop the vegetables, it just doesn't, you know, you don't have food to eat or clean dishes. So it's a nice feeling that not only are you sitting and practicing, but you're contributing to everybody else's well-being through your work, as well as, of course, supporting them through your practice and being in the hall. So one of the things that he was saying during one of the informal reflections was the attitude that one can have in one's work, in one's job, for example. Some staff members were also sitting the retreat. So one can be upset about, okay, I'm chopping these vegetables, I could be sitting and meditating, or I could be in the hall, I could be doing this, I could be doing that. Or thinking that whatever you do, may it be of benefit to everyone. May it benefit everyone who's on retreat. May it benefit all beings. May it benefit everyone. And exploring how that shift in attitude, in the internal attitude, changes the work that you do. So hold on to that thought. I'll report on that because I experimented with that, so I'll tell you how that worked. So in a way, that's an extension of that's an expression of generosity for me, because if one thinks about me, my work, my meditation, my this, my that, my time, my effort, it's very contracted. It's about me. Whereas when you do the same act of chopping vegetables or cleaning the tables, but in the way of you're offering this up. You're offering the same act that you would have done grudgingly, but you're offering this act up to the community, to the world, as an act of generosity. Like, may everybody benefit from me washing the dishes. May it be of benefit to everyone. So that, to me, is an expression of generosity. So actually, I'll talk about how I experimented with that. So my yogi job on that particular two-week retreat was putting away the dinner in the evening, putting everything away in its proper place, and then wiping all the tables, all the dining room tables. And it was all fine with me, except for I have a weak back. So bending over and wiping tables was pretty tough for me. So I noticed before he said that I was doing it a little grudgingly, like, all these tables, people are eating all these crumbs, I have to do this. And after he said that, I experimented with that. So even though the back pain didn't quite go away, but for me to think, may the clean tables support everybody's practice. May they be happy when they see these clean tables. May they sit at clean tables. It just sort of, that I was sort of kind of reciting that or thinking that spirit of may my work be of benefit to everyone, may it support everybody on this retreat. It completely changed the spirit. I was doing it happily. I wasn't doing it grudgingly anymore. It became a joy. And it was probably even visible from the outside, because I wasn't doing it like this. I was doing it like, very happily. It became a practice. So anything, even wiping tables with a spirit of generosity, with a spirit of giving it up, offering it up for benefit of others, can become a practice, which is both good for you and good for others. So related to that, in the same conversation, Bhikkhu Anayo was also talking about generosity, the inner dimension. And I think the inner dimension is particularly interesting. What I mean by that is the outer dimension is the act of giving something to someone. So let me pause for a moment. So a show of hands, play along with me. Who has ever received something from someone? Thank you, okay. Who has ever given something to someone? Thank you. These might seem like ridiculous questions. Of course, we all have. But they aren't. We're all part of the circle of giving and receiving. We all are. We're interconnected. We all give and we all receive. We've done it gazillion times and we continue to do it. So we've already been practicing generosity. This is not new. This is not generosity, like this big word, generosity, I need to be done. We are already doing it. We've done it a gazillion times. We do it every day with all the things that we do. So making it into a practice isn't so much that I must be generous, I must give. In the context of Buddhism, we bring the inner dimension of bringing more mindfulness to what we do, to the intentionality, to the motivations that come up, to actually noticing that we are giving, we are receiving, just noticing, just allowing it to be seen, and allowing those being seens to be foundations for more wholesome and for more wholesome states of mind. They build on each other. So, for example, when we really delight in our own inner goodness, when we really relish our own goodness in our kindness, in our generosity, that strengthens it. That bringing attention to it instead of, well, you know, just doing it and not really taking a moment to contemplate it. It strengthens it, and it allows more of those wholesome moments of giving to come up, which are both good for our practice, both good for us, good for the development of our own heart, as well as others. Let me... So in the words of the Buddha from Anguttara Nikaya, in this world there are three things of value for one who gives. What are these things? Before giving, the mind of the giver is happy. While giving, the mind of the giver is made peaceful. After having given, the mind of the giver is uplifted. So the Buddha is offering these reflections before giving, reflecting on the mind that is happy about the act of giving, during giving, reflecting on the mind that is peaceful and enjoys the act of giving, and after the act of giving, again reflecting and the mind being uplifted that, oh, you have given. So these are wholesome reflections, and they both support more acts of generosity of the heart and the uplifting and the peacefulness and the happiness of our own mind, which is what is beautifully highlighted. Our mind becomes happy. Our mind becomes peaceful. Our mind becomes uplifted when we give. And I just love how so many teachings are nowadays validated by various psychological studies and experiments. So I wanted to share this with you. So giving makes us feel happy. A 2008 study by Harvard Business School professor Michael Norton and colleagues found that giving money to someone else lifted participants' happiness more than spending it on themselves, despite participants' prediction that spending it on themselves would make them happier. Happiness expert Sonia Lyubomirsky, wow, that's tougher than my last name, a professor of psychology at the University of California, Riverside, saw similar results when she asked people to perform 5 acts of kindness each week for 6 weeks. These good feelings are reflected in our biology. In a 2006 study, Jorge Moll and colleagues at the National Institute of Health found that when people give to charities, it activates the region of the brain associated with pleasure, social connection, and trust, creating a warm glow effect. Scientists also believe that altruistic behavior releases endorphins in the brain, producing the positive feeling known as the helper's high. What I read to you, by the way, is from an article on how happiness is good for you, and there are 5 points. This is point number one, and this is on the Greater Good Science Center website, Greater Good Science Center at Berkeley. So if you're interested in the whole article and more research studies on how giving is good for you, you can easily Google Giving Greater Good Science Center, and you can find the whole article. It's pretty cool. So, so I wanted to go back again to the retreat by Bhikkhu Anayo, and another reflection that he shared was that generosity or giving isn't just giving money, and I mean, because that's the first thing we all think about, money, but that's not it. Or giving things. There are so many things that we can be generous about. We are all so resourceful, and if we really contemplate how resourceful we each are, how much we have to give. We could be giving of our attention. We can shower someone with our attention, just with our kind gaze, and that's an act of giving. We can give up our place in line if somebody else behind us only has one item in the grocery line. That's an act of generosity. That's giving. When we're driving on the highway, allowing someone to merge. It's an act of generosity. I mean, haven't you appreciated when somebody lets you get in? Somebody let me get in yesterday. I was so grateful. Thank you. It's so simple. It's such a simple act of generosity. We can be kind. Just a simple compliment that comes from the heart and is generous. Just noticing that perhaps a friend or a colleague isn't looking too happy or having a tough day, just acknowledging that and just taking a moment out of our busy day. We all have busy days. To acknowledge it, to acknowledge that. Perhaps making the connection between a friend who would really enjoy meeting another friend, or if somebody's looking for a job and we think somebody else can find it, you know, making connections in the world is such an act of generosity. We have so much to give: our friends, our connections, our time, our affection, our gaze, our time, our kindness, our patience. Our patience can be a huge gift. If somebody is being difficult, just you choose to be generous. You choose to be generous with your temper. You choose to be generous. So we each have so much to give. And for me, that has been a powerful reflection. I've spent times, periods in my life where I've done this little practice of looking for opportunities during the day to be generous in small ways, not with money necessarily, but with whatever other resources I might have. And you each may have your own practice, your own practices that you do. So I wanted to share a few words from Bhikkhu Bodhi on the practice of giving. He says, "The practice of giving is universally recognized as one of the most basic human virtues, a quality that testifies to the depth of one's humanity and one's capacity for self-transcendence." And the Buddha actually used to teach about generosity first. That was the first virtue that he taught before he ever taught about morality and karma and renunciation and wisdom, etc., because in a way generosity is deeply connected, is really creates the foundation, it lays the foundation for all the other practices that we do. The goal of this path is to let go in a way, and to get rid of greed, hatred, and delusion in our mind. Greed is wanting, wanting, wanting. Hatred is not wanting, pushing away, and delusion is not knowing what the right thing is to do, what's way is up. And generosity, by definition, lays the foundation for not clinging, for non-greed. In fact, in Pali, non-greed, the translation is equivalent to generosity. Non-greed means generosity. And similarly, oh, this is an interesting point, actually. Generosity, an act of giving, lays the foundation for non-hatred, for getting rid of hatred. And again, there are psychological studies that when we give a gift to someone else, our heart opens up to them. They are filled with gratitude, so their heart opens up too. But our heart, just by the act of giving something to someone, our heart opens up towards them. So I was reading the Visuddhimagga, which is the path of purification. It's like, I think, 1,000 or 2,000 pages manual in Buddhism. And it had a long list of things to... remedies for anger. If you're angry at someone, you know, you can try this, you can try that, you can try this. And the very last one was, give him a gift. Which just astounded me. The wisdom of that astounded me. If you're angry at someone and nothing else, nothing works, give them a gift. It opens your heart. It gets rid of your anger. It's amazing. And again, psychological studies, I think on that a reference I gave you, it talks about that too. That giving a gift to someone opens your heart, especially. So if you have some kind of a, you know, friction with someone in your life, in your family, a friend, give them a gift and observe the effect of it in your heart and mind. So, even though generosity or dana is not one part of the 10, part of the eightfold path, which are the eight main practices, there it actually shows up in some of the very important lists in Buddhism. As you know, Buddhism likes lists, lots of lists. There are a lot of lists, and one of the ones that it shows up in is the list of the 10 perfections or the 10 paramis. It's number one on that. And I love the list of the 10 perfections or paramis. It just makes me happy to remember what those are. So I'm going to recite them. Maybe we can all be happy together. So the first one is dana, which is generosity, giving of oneself. The second one is sila, virtue, morality, proper conduct. Third one, nekama, renunciation. Fourth one, panya, transcendental wisdom, insight. The fifth one, virya, energy, diligence, vigor, effort. Number six, kanti, patience, tolerance, forbearance, acceptance, endurance. Aren't these beautiful, just reciting them? Satcha, number seven, truthfulness, honesty. Number eight, aditana, determination, resolution. Number nine, metta, loving kindness. And number 10, upekkha, equanimity, or serenity. So one other thing I wanted to say before we get into the reflection is, in terms of the inner dimension, in terms of the inner dimension and really bringing mindfulness to observe the gladness in the mind, the peace in the mind, the intentionality in the mind, also to realize that a lot of times there may be the outer giving, the outer act of giving, and internally we might have mixed intentions and that's fine, as long as we start where we are. You know, we don't have to beat ourselves up that we have mixed intentions. Sometimes we might be giving something to someone because we want to give, but also socially it's acceptable. They accept a gift from us. Everybody else is doing it. Maybe we should do it. Maybe we're giving it so that they like us more. You know, there could be all these complicated intentions coming up to in the act of generosity too. So true, maybe pure generosity is difficult, some people say. But it's perfectly fine. We don't have to beat ourselves up with a stick in this practice. We just observe, we just notice, we just bring mindfulness. Oh, okay, I have these good intentions, and I have mixed intentions. I want recognition, which is just seeing it. Seeing it is important because it's so important to see everything instead of letting things go unseen. And again, feeling peaceful and happy for the good intentions that we have, for the pure intentions we have, and just seeing the ones that are mixed. It is what it is. It's what arising given the conditions in our mind. So I thought it was important to acknowledge that instead of setting up this hoity-doity, oh yes, we all give selflessly and generously and there's never a mixed motivation. We're all human. And we start exactly where we are. We don't imagine we're anywhere else, any further ahead than we actually are. And where we are is perfect, is exactly where we need to be, given all the conditions that have arisen in our life. This is exactly where we need to be in our practice. And our life is giving us all the conditions we need in order to wake up right here, right now. We have all the conditions, all the good things, all the gifts, all the generosities, and all the challenges. Challenges are good in a way. They don't let us fall asleep at the wheel. So there's a lot more I can say, but I think it's time to get into a reflection now. How does that sound? Yeah, okay, let's do that. So I invite you to get into your meditation posture. Sit comfortably. And let your body settle, let your body relax as much as possible. Letting yourself enjoy sitting. Allowing your mind to also settle on your body. Enjoying as much ease and relaxation as there may be available right now in your body. And now, I invite you, as you're sitting with your eyes closed, to bring to mind a time when someone was generous to you. Could be something small, recent. Could be something that was really significant in your life. Doesn't matter. Just anything. When you're the receiving end of any act of generosity, no matter the size, no matter the time, bring the situation to your mind's eye. What happened, what the gift was. And now, allow yourself to reflect on how that makes you feel. To have been on the receiving end of somebody's kindness, somebody's generosity. And just noticing what comes up, whatever it is. It may not be what you expect, and that's perfectly fine. Just observing, just letting be. There is no right or wrong. Okay, having observed observe that. Now, let's continue letting go of that scenario, letting go of whatever emotions or thoughts might have come up. And now allow yourself to bring to mind a situation where you were generous to someone, where you gave a gift of any size, of your time, effort, kindness, thoughtfulness, anything. Small or large does not matter. Any size. Could be just letting someone get in front of you driving. Anything that comes to mind. Bring the situation to mind, what happened. And now allow yourself to feel how that felt. Generosity, giving. Giving of some resource. Perhaps your mind is uplifted, remembering. Maybe your mind becomes happy and peaceful. Whatever comes up is fine. Just notice what comes up. And allow yourself to accept and really embrace your inner goodness. By acknowledging our inner goodness, it grows. And we all have inner goodness. See what it feels like when you allow yourself to rest and relax into a sense of ease and appreciation. Of joy, of happiness, of your act of generosity. The size doesn't matter. Just allow yourself to enjoy it. Allow your mind to be uplifted. So whenever you're ready, take a few more breaths. No hurry, no rush. You can let go of the reflections. And when you are ready, you can open your eyes and come back to the room. So, So I'd like to invite you, if you like. Actually, let's do this. Okay, so let's. So, there's another practice to tag on to this, and the practice is this. It's the practice of witnessing and being witnessed when you actually talk about receiving generosity and talk about your own act of generosity. Sharing that and letting another human being witness that and talking about it, it makes you, when you hear yourself, something happens in that practice. So take my word for it. So if you're shy and you don't feel like doing this practice, it's perfectly fine. You can, for the next 5 minutes, you can close your eyes and reflect on your own. But if you like to participate in this practice, which I invite you, next we're going to partner up. And just for a few minutes, just for a couple of minutes, each person will share either giving or receiving story and letting themselves be witnessed. Okay? So if you like to participate in talking, and I'll time each side, each person, for 2 minutes, Raise your hand, please. Yes, yes, yes. And then look around, all the people who have raised their hands. Just couple up, double up. And if you don't want to talk, it's okay. We're not going to force anyone to do what they don't want to do. So partner up, please. And I'll start a 2-minute timer. Is there anyone who needs a partner who does not have a partner? I'll be your partner. Anybody else who wants to? Yes? No? Okay. Okay, all right, we're back, great. So how was that? Yes, good, great. Okay, do we have the mic? Yes, you do.
Thank you. This makes it scarier a little bit. I'll try to relax. I was encouraged by my partner to tell... when you asked us to think of people giving generosity in my direction, and the first example I thought of, I was like, oh, well, yeah. I remembered how I kind of got uncomfortable with that generosity from that friend. So I went to the next example, and the same thing happened. I thought about the generosity coming my direction, and I was like, well, I better go to a different example. So I got to the third, and I realized it was a pattern. I tried it one more time, and even on the fourth, I'm completely resistant to the generosity coming in my direction. I'm okay with the giving, and I even maybe feel like I'm not giving enough, maybe, or some imbalance there, but I was surprised, and my partner had kind of the same, like, yeah, that's interesting, that resistance to the generosity.
Yeah,
and it makes perfect sense because I have had serious issues with the friends who want to give, you know, to the point where I push them away. It's too much for me to handle. So
it's so powerful to see that. And also I want to say that is very common. It's very common, different gradations of that. So just in this room, how many people felt some of that? Okay. You see that? You see the number of hands? And mine included? It's easier, it's for many of us, it's easier to give than to receive. And to see that, and to allow. Because you make, it's been part of my practice to receive with graciousness, because the giver feels better. It's part of generosity to receive graciously. Let people be kind to you. Makes them feel good. Don't mess up their endorphin high, their giver's high. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Other comments, other observations?
So I wanted to share that my challenge was actually on the giving side, that... when I started thinking about acts of generosity, I very quickly started thinking about times when I should have been generous and wasn't, and then ended up kind of in a guilty and shameful feeling at times of, oh, well, I know at this point I should have done it, or I should have done different. So I ended up thinking and kind of going in that direction.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's very common too. And again, show of hands for how many people that came up. See, you're not the only person. It's very common. And again, it's a practice. It's a practice to bring mindfulness to that, just as you did. Say, oh, you know, my mind is going to, in all the times I should have been, so it's bringing up all these judgments. Okay, judgment arising, just seeing all of that, just seeing it, just as judgment arises, just different flavor. of judgment arising. And see if it can arise and if it can pass away. Right? You don't have to hold on to it. It's not... There are also many situations where you have been generous, where you have given appropriately. And allow your mind to bring those up, if it's possible, after seeing all the judgments that come up, which, again, is just seeing another pattern. It's just the practice. You're engaging, practicing, seeing the patterns of your mind. And we all have patterns, believe me. Yeah, thank you. Another comment I saw. Any other observations?
Yeah, Nikki, this talk's very timely. I've been actually working on issues related to my giving and receiving over the last month. One of the things I've worked on is giving my time to a family member who was abusive to me in the past. But, you know, it's today. It's not in the past. And in working on this and just being, you know, opening myself up to this person in the present, it actually turned into a forgiveness practice. Mm. So when I realized that, I was just blown away. I mean, it's the heart opening. Mm. And so I'm grateful.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I always appreciate the level and depth of wisdom that's available in this room, in this Sangha. And I'm just one voice, one perspective. I just sort of plant the seeds. And I really appreciate everything that everyone offers from your deep experience, life experience, and wisdom. So thank you for that. And we have time for a few more comments, please. Allow other people to benefit from your wisdom.
So, you know, those times when you're driving and you've been waiting at that stoplight forever, right? And there's this big fancy car over here that really wants to get there in front of you. And it's like, I've been waiting here longer than you have, sweetheart. And there are certainly times that I don't let them in. And I feel the constriction. And, you know, so who am I hurting, right? I'm only hurting myself, but I still don't let them in sometimes.
Thank you.
Thank you for your honesty.
Yes. That's and for seeing with clarity. But
I had a different comment, which I will say after this, but I can't resist a response to her, well, not response, but something related to her comment, which is about driving. I've noticed recently, so at the rush hour, there is a left turn sometimes I need to make where I can be from a T intersection, where I could be sitting there for a long time, waiting for someone to let me make my left turn because they're all going that way, and I'm trying to cut into them. So recently I've noticed there have been some kind or generous, I guess, people who have stopped specifically to let me make a left turn. And when they've done that, there is just this really wonderful feeling like there is hope for humanity. That's how I feel, and it's like, it just felt so good because it's rare to see that act these days. Because of its rareness, I just felt so good. I literally thought there is hope. And I couldn't help doing the loving kindness, the metta for them. Like, may that driver who just let me in be happy, may he or she be healthy, may he or she be in peace, may he or she... I was like, wow, like, I was just so surprised by it because it's so rare. So I couldn't resist saying that. But on a different note, again, related to the... I guess somewhat it's related to this topic. I'm not really sure how related it is to generosity. Is I've noticed in general out there, not just recently, but over the years, a very noticeable and distinct stinginess in most people in thank you. I don't see many thank yous out there. I don't know if it's just me or if it is related to this idea of people being uncomfortable with receiving, and because they're uncomfortable receiving, they are reluctant to thank. But I've noticed that, like, both as an observer and as someone at the receiving end of it, like when I've given someone a gift, for example, no matter what or the size of the gift, big or small or whatever, no thank yous. I'm like, whoa, what's going on out there? What is it with this lack of thank yous out there?
It's interesting you bring that up. I do wonder whether what you're observing has to do with the lack of comfort of receiving generosity. So it's not lack of appreciation, perhaps, but it's, you know, putting people in a place where they feel uncomfortable. They feel vulnerable. It's not coming from ill will, but it's coming from a place of vulnerability and fear. And a lot of times, what we perceive as bad behavior in others is coming from a place of fear and smallness and vulnerability in them. So
I wasn't really judging it as being what I was. Just I've been puzzled the whole time. I'm like, what's going on? What is it with this lack of thank you out there? Yeah. What's going on in these people's mind when? Because for me, I make sure no matter what I receive from someone, small or big, doesn't matter. I make sure to say my thank you. I'm pretty generous with thank yous.
Yeah.
But I don't see that out there, and it's just, as I said, this big question mark, like, what is it about?
Yeah, well, you can never see the conditionality and the conditions in somebody else's mind, really what is going on, what complicated, whatever is going on, whatever reason is going on, right? And who knows? I mean, the best we can do as practitioners on this path is we don't try to change the world, right? And I know you're not trying to. You're just observing, right? But even with that, what we do is we try to cultivate our own heart and mind to the best of our ability, regardless of what people do. And in fact, in one of the suttas, which is like setting the bar so high, the Buddha says that even if bandits cut your arms and limbs one by one, that's the pretty egregious, right? The bandits cutting your arms with saws off, you still have to have a heart of loving kindness towards them. So that's the practice that we're cultivating. You know, that's where we're heading. So regardless of whether they say thank you or not, or whatever is going on in their mind, it's our practice. It's our practice to see that and expand our heart to even include that, whatever the reason for that is. Well, last
Can
one.
I ask you a question?
Actually,
why not aspire to balance? You know, after all, if you're expressing just loving kindness while someone's chopping off your arm, there will be people out there that want to chop off your arms. There are people like that.
So
why not aspire to balance, as opposed to unqualified?
So I'm going to give a quick answer because I realize we've gone over time. It's 9:02, but I don't want to leave that unanswered. So please forgive me for going over time one more minute. So the idea of generosity of heart doesn't mean lack of action. And I want to be very clear about that. So one can be very clear in one's action as long as it comes from a loving kindness place. You can say, you cannot do this. This is not right. So it doesn't mean that as Buddhists we're wet noodles and we let anybody do anything because we love them. It doesn't mean that. But the act comes, the action comes from a loving place for their goodness, for our goodness, for the goodness of everyone. So it's the same act. That the act could be that you're protecting yourself, you're protecting them. You might be fighting them. You might be, I don't know, you'll be defending yourself, but it comes from a different place than hatred. So that is what's significant. And I'm so glad you asked this question, even if it means that I went over time. So I'm sorry for having gone over time. Thank you for your generosity of patience. And have a good week. Thank you.